If you would like to support the Riders Live Podcast, we have merchandise in the Riders Live Podcast merch store and our link tree, which is linktr.ee/RODES. Option one, we have the Riders Live Podcast merch store. Option two, we have the White Lines book by Riders Hunt. Option three, we have the RidersOnline.net website. We have all our social media links available in the Linktree as well. So hit up Linktree/RODES. Thank you. Welcome to Riders Live. I'm your host, Riders. We got a pretty dope show for y'all today. The name of this episode is called Rhyme and Reason. And Big L is the what's poppin' artist of the day, y'all. Let's get it.
They call him
You a true underground head, you know what this mean right here, baby. This ain't motherfucking LL Cool J. Get it up. You know what this mean. It don't mean lazy motherfucker either. Get it up. Alright?
You ready, Prey?
It don't mean...
Everybody keep your L up like that.
It don't mean nothing.
Word.
But one thing.
Big L.
Big L.
Big L.
Big L.
Big L.
Rest in peace.
Big L.
Throw that L up in the air. We gonna have you do this shit all motherfucking night, so get used to it. Get used to it. This is for my man Big L. Word him up.
Word him up.
Put your L's up. Put your L's up. Put your L's up. Put your L's up.
Big L. Coleon. My nigga C-Town. My big brother Big Lee holding it down. Flamboyant, baby. For life. Big L.
For my man Big L.
Big L.
Yo, you know the game plan. C-Town, that's my main man. We never bring luggage. We go shopping when the plane lands. Still run with the same clan. Used to be a Kane fan. Everything I rock is name brand. Ella make your dame swallow. Your ice don't shine and your chain hollow. Why you fronting clubs for hours with the same bottle? Taking midget sips. I run with the richest clicks. Tap the thickest chicks. Plus drop the slickest hits. You know nothing about L, so don't doubt L. What's this motherfucking rap game without L? Yo, that's like jewels without ice. That's like China without rice. Or the Holy Bible without Christ. Or the balls without mic. Or crackheads without pipes. The village without dykes. Or hockey games without fights. Don't touch the mic if you ain't able to spit. Flamboyant is the label I'm with, motherfucker. Big L. Coleon. My nigga C-Town. My big brother Big Lee holding it down. Flamboyant, baby.
New Orleans,
y'all know the deal.
Fever!
niggas is trying to kill me. Picturing pistols, spitting hollow points till they drill me. Keeping it real, and even if I do conceal my criminal thoughts, preoccupied with keeping still. See, niggas is false, sitting in court, turn snitches. They used to be real, but now they petrified bitches. I'm trying to be strong. They sending armies out to bomb me. Listen to Ron, the only DJ that can calm me. Constantly armed, my firepower keep me warm. I'm trapping the storm, and fuck the world till I'm gone. Bitches be warned, word is born, you'll get torn. I'm busting on Giuliani, rubbing my niggas wrong. And in this song, before I leave, picture me, I'm spitting that pump. Bitches and hustling to be free, watch me set it. Niggas don't want it, you can get it. Bet it, make these jealous niggas mad, I said it. This thug life, nigga, we don't cater to you hoes. Fuck with me, have 100 motherfuckers at your door with 4 foes. Yeah, nigga, thug life.
Be that young, pretty, fly, smooth, glorious kid. A bad boy just like Notorious Big. A Rockefeller like Sean Carter. With more game than Ron Harper. The bomb spark, a rapper slash non-robber. While y'all be on the corners bumming and high, I be out buying the finest shit money can buy. You and she was in the position that I'm in. Hot rhyming, diamond shining, autograph signing. My lifestyle is far out. Every week bring a different car out. I go to nightclubs and buy the bar out. Cause I keep cream. I'm large on the street scene. Every time I touch mics, you hear all the freak scream. Yeah, yeah, Big L, Harlem's finest. Yeah, the nigga who hold it down for uptown.
It's how we do it out here on this underground real shit, nigga. It's the heat, nigga. Now rewind this motherfucker, you know you can't help it. Deadly combination, boy.
Attention and listen real closely how I break this slang shit down. Check it, my weed smoke is my lie. A key of coke is a pie. When I'm lifted, I'm high. With new clothes on, I'm fly. Cars is whips and sneakers is kicks. Money is chips, movies is flicks. Also, cribs is homes, jacks is payphones. Cocaine is nose candy, cigarettes is bones. A radio is a box, a razor blade is an ox. Fat diamonds is rocks and Jakes is cops. And if you got robbed, you got stuffed, you got shot, you got bucked. And if you got double crossed, you got fucked. Your bankroll is your poke, a chokehold is a yoke, a kite is a note, a con is a okie doke. And if you got punched, that mean you got snuffed. So clean is to buff, a bull scare is a strong bluff. I know you like the way I'm freaking it. I talk with slang and I'ma never stop speaking it.
Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill.
A burglary is a joke, a wolf's a crook. More deep already explained the meaning of shook. If you caught a felony, you caught an F. If you got killed, you got left. If you got the dragon, you got bad breath. If you 730, that mean you crazy. Hit me on the hit means page me. Ain't you Dustin Sherm? If you got AIDS, you got the germ. If a chick gave you a disease, then you got burned. Max mean to relax. Guns and pistols is gats. Condoms is hats. Critters is cracks. The food you eat is your grub. A victim's a mark. A sweatbox is a small club. Your tick is your heart. Your apartment is your pad. Your old man is your dad. The studio is the lab and heated is mad. I know you like the way I'm freaking it. I talk with slang and I'ma never stop speaking it.
Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill.
The iron horse is the training. Champagne is bubbly. A deuce is a honey that's ugly. If your girl is fine, she's a dime. A suit is a vine. Jewelry is shine. If you in love, that mean you blind. Genuine is real. A face card is $100 bill. A very hard long stare is a grill. If you sneaking to go see a girl, that mean you creeping. Smiling is cheesing. Bleeding is leaking. Banging is bumming. If you nutting, you coming. Taking orders is sunning. An ounce of coke is an onion. A hotel's a telly. A cell phone's a celly. Jealous is jelly. Your food box is your belly. So gorilla mean to use physical force. You took an L, you took a loss. To show off mean floss. I know you like the way I'm freaking it. I talk with slang and I'ma never stop speaking it.
Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Speak with criminal slang,
that's just the way that I talk, yo.
Vocabulary spills, I'm ill.
Yeah, yeah. One love to my big brother, Big Lee. Holding it down. Yeah, flamboyant for life. Yeah, yeah, flamboyant for life.
That was the late, great Big L, Harlem's Finest with The Big Picture, Deadly Combination featuring Tupac, and Ebonics. Those songs are available on all streaming platforms. Y'all gonna get some Big L in y'all life, y'all. One of the greatest. R.I.P. Big L. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Riders Live. Today I got two MCs from Chicago, Pape G and Skoda Hustler. Please tell the people a little bit about yourself. Pape G first, then Sko.
Well, from Chicago, Southside, inspired by the West Coast, you know, 90s hip hop. Mainly, you know, West Coast and East Coast. As I matured, I pretty much I learned something from each coast. You know, that's what it was about, you know, at that time. And, you know, I continue, it's a never-ending journey for knowledge, you know, with this. And I just feel it's, you know, as long as your brain is active, you can, you know, you can make it happen, you know. But a little bit about myself, theater background.
That's what's up. What about you, Pape G? What about you, Sko?
Yeah, man. Sko the Hustler, Chicago, Harvey, Illinois. You know, I'm inspired by, you know, like Nas, Jay, you know what I'm saying? I was more like an East Coast swag when I was growing up listening to them, you know, life was good. Then, you know, the streets come at the door. Then I started to understand like what my older people was listening to and how they was moving and stuff. I started to experience it. So then that like guided me. But, you know, it's a small part of the story that I got big more for you to understand.
Okay. Skoda Hustler, what's something that people don't know about you?
The Hustler, been through a lot, then graduated a lot to knowing myself. I'm really in the study of self-knowledge. A lot of people don't know like what, like I tell the world, like I got a message in my music, you know, just spitting my process of life through it. So whatever you don't know, through my mixtape, through my albums, you understand.
What's something that people don't know about you, Pape G, that they'd be surprised about?
Well, I don't know, I'm pretty much an open book. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an open book, bro. You know, like if you listen to my music, I pretty much let you know what it is, the good, bad, and ugly, you know?
All right, speak up. Hey, G, speak up, yeah. But I heard you.
Yeah.
So you're an open book.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Could you hear me now? Could you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
All right. So you're an open book?
Most definitely.
All right. Most cool. Definitely. All right, Pape G, we're going to stay on you. Who is Pape G, the MC?
Pape G is a mixture of Chicago-based rap influenced by East Coast and West Coast. You know, that's Pape G, poetry, theater, and just life.
Okay.
All in one.
Okay. Skoda Hustler, if they broke down your DNA, who is Skoda Hustler?
Skoda Hustler, honestly, is the streets, the bloody truth.
Okay, that's cool. You can't argue with that. You can't get her confused. None of that. That's what's up. What's y'all favorite diss track of all time?
Woo! Oh man.
You know, I ain't I'm gonna let you go, G.
You know, it's on you, Sko.
It's on me.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite diss track of all times, man. it's to me, it's ether because it's creative. I ain't into talking about what I'm supposed to talk to you under the rug.
Okay, that's what's up. I like ether too.
Yeah, ether is definitely my in my top. I gotta say, Common and Cube too. You know, Cube with No Vaseline and Common with that bitch in you. You know, like it's some, you know, hit them up. It's a few of them, bro. It's a few.
What's your favorite? I ain't say what's your favorite, but fan diss tracks.
Man, bro, like, damn, it's hard. I gotta say Ether though, bro, because the reason why I say Ether because I knew Nas was dope, but I didn't know he was I didn't see him as a battle rapper. And it was a shock to me that he came like that because I thought Jay had him.
Yeah,
and I'm a Nas fan, but I thought Jay had him.
He wasn't never tested on that level.
Yeah, and he rise to the occasion. So it, you know, when you put
a lot of that this is facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, see, that's what I like.
For real.
One thing that I'm gonna say about it is like I think that coming at somebody baby mama is weak because, you know, first of all, sometimes it could be a child involved and the child is innocent and the BS that parents have going on already. And right. Then you gonna bring some shit to the forefront talking about, you know, somebody that I got a child with and I got love for, but you know, it's like old news, but how dare you come and my daughter's mom, cause my daughter looking at me like, Dad, you gonna let him get away with that? No.
That's probably what motivated him to come so hard.
And then I gotta defend this half of honor, even though she the foul one. You know what I'm saying? That's not how I looked at it. Nas was like, damn, I gotta take up for this bitch.
Yeah. Oh, the real Johnny. Took some nerves, but this is the thing, though. It's like you want to have honor in it, but like, you know, when it's war, lyrical war, especially at this level, bro, it ain't no. It's an old rules in it. They're coming at everything. You gotta be prepared. He was well prepared, though.
Right. See, can I enlighten you on that? What I look at, like, because I know this is entertainment. You get me? So the type of stuff that Jay said in that, the type of stuff that Tupac said in that, that's why I believe music has went from being creative to, like, we on a block corner just talking shit to each other.
You know what I think? I think since, you know, social media is definitely a good tool, but these shorties and people, they going online thinking that they actually stars and shit like that. You know, I come from an era where it ain't cool to be telling shit. It ain't cool to be seen on this block with these niggas and this block saying this and this block saying that.
Hey, different.
That's what it seemed like to me, you know.
Yeah.
Different what you saying, G? Like it's no holds barred with this when we, you know, what I'm saying, when we doing this. But we also got to remember that I can use something better than that if I shake your hand when I see you. If I'm
most
not
looking
for you. So
that's pretty much how I roll, you know.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Me too.
For real,
so what's the thing that made you say, hey, I could do this? G, what made you say I could do this?
You know what, man? I've been doing this since fourth grade, man, just like writing rap down, you know, emulating artists. Looking at your MTV rap, like rapping they stuff in the mirror, you know, like once I start formulating my own thoughts and coming up with my own story, I was like, you know, this is it's poetry, you know. But I knew I could do this really young, bro, you know?
Right. What about you, Skoda Hustler?
Basically, with me, it came a point in my life that where, in the midst of me healing myself from the streets, the stories that I write, the songs I write, I actually heal the music for myself. So it's like, I didn't think I could rap, but I didn't know my stories of life was so interesting. Like, I'm walking down my block with
it. That's what's up. Yes, sir. Who are some of your musical influences? Scope, Nas, right?
He one of them. Tupac. He one of them. And DMX. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What about you, Pape G?
Of course, you know, Nas and Common at the top of the, you know, top of the chain with me. But I also, like, early on, listened to America's Most Wanted, you know, Cube. I used to get all of his, you know, all of his music. I'm talking about Death Certificate, Lethal Injection, MCA, you know, later, you know, of course, it's a lot of influences. KRS, Kool G, Big Daddy. It's just all of them. I took from a lot of the spitters, you know. A lot of the spitters.
Okay. Pape G, who's your favorite MC? Who's your favorite duo? And who is your favorite group?
Favorite MC? My personal favorite MC who I listen to every day is Common, you know. He's from here. I can relate to him. Favorite duo, I would say EPMD, Prime EPMD. Favorite group, that's I say NWA, Prime NWA.
Okay. What about you, Scar?
Favorite MC, just like favorite of all times, Tupac. My favorite group is Mobb Deep. And like, when you say duo, you mean like against each other?
No, the duo is Mobb Deep, you know, too. Like MJG and A-Bar be a duo.
Now, yeah.
UGK be a duo.
That's my one. For the duo, I got MJG and A-Bar.
Okay. And who your favorite group?
Now my favorite rap group?
Right.
That's a hard one. The Locks.
Yes, sir.
The Locks Coast, yeah.
It's so many, bro. It's so many, but like...
That's my favorite. I mean, the zone right there. That's my favorite.
I don't even think it's fair, you know, for somebody to ask you your top five rappers, cause shit, Jada, Styles, and Sheek, that's three right there, the Locks, that's three right there, right off the bat. Then you got M.O.P., that's another two. Then you got Mobb Deep, that's another two. Man. Then you got the Busters, the Rakims, the LLs, King Bonds, you know.
You know what? Like, you know, at this stage, it's like you have to, because it's, you know, rap been around for a minute, so many spitters. It's like you kind of almost got to do it by eras, you know, like the best of the 90s, best of the 2000s, best of now, you know, like right now you got Kendrick, you know, as far as spitters, you got Kendrick and J. Cole like neck to neck, you know, and I can't. You know, you got Drake, you know, as far as, you know, on the mainstream level, what I'm saying, it's like on the mainstream level and spitting. But I say Kendrick and J. Cole. And then you got the Drillers, who the best drill rapper. You know, you got Dirk killing the game right now. And, you know, like I thought it was going to be Chief or King Louis. You know, you got Dirk past Chief Keef and King Louis, you know?
Yeah, I think King Von was better than all of them.
He was there cold.
I take heed to King Von because it's like, it's not easy to rap when you're telling the truth. And it's not easy to sound good when it's really you talking your feelings.
No doubt.
But one thing, you know, people gravitate towards what they like. People gravitate towards real shit. And you cannot fake being real.
You can't.
Like when Tupac rap, you could feel it. When Von rap, I could feel it.
Yeah. See, that's why I told a person, I said, and they didn't understand why I said this. I said, you can't put Tupac no farther than Nas because them was our two journalists.
For real.
Because
my thing is, they both incredible. It's just that I hate that Tupac and Biggie body of work, Pac body of work being held hostage, but shit. I know he got some shit in the vault. Biggie shit got cut short. But you know, I think Nas is the best out of Pac, Biggie, and Jay. That's just my opinion.
Like
He started earlier and he been, you know, early 90s, right? All through the 90s, all through the 2000s, 2010, 2020. He still consistently put out music. You know, some people say, oh, this out, this was a dud, that was a dud based on a single. But are you listening? You know?
I mean, I go out there with music and I also go out vibrations and the energy the music gives you. So when you really talk about it, that's like when you try to compare a Usher to a R. Kelly. No disrespect to R. Kelly. You get me? R. Kelly is going to touch a woman in every issue in life that any woman can never think about, finds their emotional feelings. And it's going to be authentic. You get me? So like with Tupac, it's not no album no songs that where he couldn't catch a feeling like how could you know I feel that way?
Yeah, but like strictly for my niggas, I wasn't feeling that shit.
No. That's no, I wasn't, you know what I'm saying, like talking about, you know what I'm saying, that album, because that was like, that was the
That was his growing period right there.
So, but look, check this shit out. If you put this shit out, you still put it out.
Right.
But even on that one, it was like, see, that's the thing. It's like at that time, and not taking away from Nas, because I'm one of the biggest fans of his, but it's like, you know, like at the time, Pac came out before Nas, and it was like at the time he came out, if you notice, even the top MCs, they was coming out with whack albums, but they have like two or three singles, you know, like that they're just, you know, put out in flood. That's why, like back in the day, if you can reflect back, we used to buy the singles, you know, like whatever single, you know what I mean? Like they didn't really put too much energy into their whole album. They'll just like put a few singles out and they'll sell an album that way. Get on your own TV rap and promote it that way. By the time Nas came out, you know, he this new hospital, the second coming of Big L to me. You know what I mean? Like he had some of the top, he was anointed, bro. He had some of the top producers in the game on his freshman album. Pete Rock at the time was that deal. You had Premier, you had Q-Tip.
But he still had to write the rhymes and be him.
Back to you though, bro. How could you like KRS-One but don't like Strictly for My Niggas? It's conscious rap. It's hip hop. It's revolutionary.
I'm not saying that I don't like conscious rap. I'm saying it was some duds on that record. It was some duds on that motherfucker.
But like how people would say they like KRS-One, he never touched me with his conscious rap. He never touched me with his consciousness. Like I'm a rebel. like Strictly For My Niggas, Cradle to the Grave, all the shit that Pac was bringing out to Apocalypse, I'm Troublesome. Like, I got a tattoo, a nigga asked me the other day, he said, what do tattoo tears mean? I said, that's like one of Tupac's first albums. I've been handling stress in this shit for years, blazed out, shedding tattoo tears. I said, oh, you get me? But it's like, what I'm saying is, like, Tupac came out before Nas, so of course Tupac gonna come out in a conscious rapping. Now, Tupac, when Nas came out,
Tupac came out after Nas.
No, he came out before. Nas
was on Breaking Adams. Tupac didn't have no record out. Nas was on Large Professor shit. Tupac wasn't out yet.
Juice around the reflect to the time of Juice when he came out with Brenda's Got a Baby.
Exactly. Right. So Breaking Adams was out before Brenda's Got a Baby.
Nah, man, like that's the thing. Illmatic wasn't out. It's like he and you gotta look, Tupac was with Digital Underground too. Exactly. You know, so it's like they was both like coming up at the same time, but like I just look at that era, it's like I say, like if you even listen to a big, like some of Big Daddy Kane, like, you know, Al, it's like they wasn't like they whole albums wasn't like dope like that. It was like,
you know why? The labels had to get their money back. So they put out the singles to get their money back.
That's what I think Tupac went through with that. It was like, you know, like, yeah. But he, like the bangers that he put out was official. So you know, look, but
I ain't trying to shit on Pac at all. I'm just saying that the label made him put out them songs. You see, when he got out with Suge, he ain't had no duds. Even with Me Against the World, no duds on that motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying. It was just the time. It was just the time and the pressure, you know. You know, right. Like that's what he was forced to do. Nas came out at a perfect time. Exactly. All the stars, moon, everything aligned, planets, everything aligned for him. And it's, but like,
imagine he had this. Not to cut you off, imagine this. Go back and watch the movie. The first song he tried to put out and argue with his label to the point he didn't even want to sign with him was Brenda's Got a Baby.
Yo, these labels, they don't know what the fuck they doing. But I agree,
that was his
you.
Biggest, that was Brenda's Got a Baby. You. Brenda's Got a Baby took off.
These labels don't know what the fuck they doing. They don't.
But you want to know what's wild though? It's like, it's funny that you say that. What's wild though is Nas and Pac were really influenced by each other though. You know,
that's
when
what I'm
like
saying.
Yeah, they even with the gun, with the, like, you know, like with the gun, Nas came out with the gun, Pac flipped it. You know what I mean? And it was certain elements that Pac did, like We Got Me, They Got Me Trapped. Those Nas was basically, you know what I mean, like pretty much like influenced by that, like that, you know, like that I got, They Got Me Trapped. Nas was talking that Black Power, you know, They Got Me Trapped type thing, you know what I mean? So it's like they interact. I honestly think like Nas, like his wordplay, I can't, you listen, he's a dope lyricist, he's one of my favorite, but I think he was what helped him develop, besides Kool G Rap, Pac helped him develop, bro. I honestly believe that, you know, I think it was between Kool G Rap, of course, you know, like the MCs and, you know, from his city, but I think Pac definitely had that, you know, helped him develop, him and Biggie.
Yeah, shit.
Like, see, the difference.
You can tell.
Like, the difference is so crazy to me. Like, honestly, you know what I'm saying? Like, Tupac used to dance. Tupac went to Shakespeare School. So yeah, we're gonna take the streets out of him.
He's still a theater.
Hold on, we're gonna put the journalists in. We're gonna put the little boy that was sitting on the porch watching the drug dealers, watching the killers, watching the woo-woos. And now these stories that I'm giving to you is from sitting talking to and seeing all the pain of these dudes. Okay, we're gonna take Nas, for instance. I gotta walk past these dudes every day in the projects. Project windows. I'm staring out my window, seeing these dudes, and I'm not doing it. I'm not that type of dude, but this is the life I'm living. So I'm an actual journalist. That's where we gotta start. Like Jeezy was like one of the only rappers that spit street rap that really related to my window. that really related to me waking up, tying my shoes, and going out. I really bought a pair of Sean John jeans. I really had an eight ball out there. I'm not saying like that. I really know people who did like that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you hear something that's so pure to it, you get me? Like, I've been to jail before. So when I heard Von say, boy, it's kind of cold in here. You better have that pole in here. You ain't got nobody making stove in here. That's so genuinely to the real. You can't make that up unless you're there to see
it. No doubt.
Right.
And that's where rap is taking the twist at. You're turning the streets to entertainment on the streets.
So here's the thing.
Cool. And that's not cool at all.
Hip-hop music is entertainment, period. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. It's entertainment, period. It ain't okay to be a rapper. How many times you get shot at? Do you know how to take a gun apart? You know, it's art. Just like it's no age on music. No age on music. I love motherfucking Marvin Gaye album. I play that motherfucker at least twice a week, goddamn it. You know. I listen
That's
to light
Marvin
rock
Gaye is what Marvin Gaye is, because no matter what, like I told a person about my album I look at, I say my music is timeless for the future, because you might not be seeing it now, but you're going to go through something in life that on Sunday, like your mama was cleaning up with her broom, listening to the Dusties. When she didn't listen to it, but her mama was listening to it, she understand it now.
Right.
Yep.
And going to what you references, what you referencing right now, when you grab that pen, the ability to tap into all of those moments and times, that's what make you a good artist. You know?
Most definitely.
You could touch the people in some capacity. That's just my opinion.
And it's from your experience. You know, it's from your personal experience, what you saw, things you went through, you know.
It's from your lens. It's from your lens.
Speaking it from your perspective, and your fan base is going to be people who went through the same thing that you went through, or perhaps inspired by what you're doing. You know, even if they didn't go through what you went through, they inspired by you, like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, you might save them from going, like, you know, you might save them from going that direction.
You was able to put them in that fucked up situation or that happy place or something like that, you know? Like LL Cool J, I wouldn't get no pussy, but I needed love, goddammit.
See, like I said, like I'm going to get back to what I'm saying. Music is like different genres of movies. Horror stories, sci-fis, dramas. You get what I'm saying?
It's something for everybody. You just gotta find what you like. And
if you could touch a person on every views of that, you get what I'm saying? Then you making music. You get what I'm saying? That's like when I say the way I think of doing music like so much crazy, because I think of music like if I was to talk to a person that survived the Michael Myers movie, I'd talk to that person. You get me? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't believe him because the horror story is so hard. My life ain't a horror story like that. So I'm not relating to him. Right now, I'm getting money. Everything is going good. But one thing is that I heard him talk. So when it don't go good, I heard that in my brain before that this can happen. So like Pac was dead for me. Like before I was on Pac, I was Nas them, the firm them. I was going to parties. I was trying to worry about my dressing. Fly nigga, the streets were at the door. You get what I'm saying? We was cool.
Right. That's what's up. We ain't gonna be no motherfucking misogynist on my show, goddammit. We finna talk about the queens, the females. Who y'all top five female MCs?
Man, Rhapsody is number one right now. MC Light in the picture, a queen, you got the queen, Nicki Minaj. My fifth one is up for grabs. I want to say Kim or Foxy.
Oh, okay. What about you, Skull?
That's kind of a hard one because I never sat down long enough to give him a chance.
So, no comment.
Not in a bad way. Like, I'm
no
like an old.
And that, that ain't no good or bad. If you don't listen to females, you just don't listen.
I like Remy. I like Remy Ma.
Remy Ma cold. She cold. I forgot about her. She cold. She definitely cold.
I don't usually answer no questions on my show. I say Roxanne Shante, MC Light, Missy, Lauryn Hill, and Jean Grey.
Queen. Man.
I think Jean Grey cold on a motherfucker.
She, hey, you heard Rhapsody?
Yeah, I heard Rhapsody.
Lyrically, yeah, she hard. Lyrically, she hard.
She can make songs too. She had Jay-Z ass, goddammit, singing her lines.
On the real, right?
You know, that's difficult right there.
Man, I forgot about Lauryn Hill. You know, she's one of the coldest too. You know, she can flip it with the vocals, lyrically. She, however you want it, you know, she was cold. I think Heartbreak kind of messed her up, though.
Yeah.
I compare her. She give me a Tupac feeling when she do music.
She
it touches the soul.
She definitely.
She give me that type of music.
Yeah, when you diversity.
Can be on the TV unplugged and you just have a, like, a guitar and you just, like, just flowing like that. You don't have no band, no nothing, just lyrics and a guitar. And entertaining and keep my attention, you cold.
Yeah.
That was Lauryn Hill.
That's just like doing shows. A lot of times when I do shows, it'll be people that deep with their crews and shit, like out of state, 10 niggas, 15 niggas. And I just be by myself, like, better tear this motherfucker down. Better tear this bitch down.
See, I'm an old head, so. All 10, 15 of them niggas, they dead in jail. So I'm the survivor.
No doubt.
I don't have nobody to even really be that trustworthy to other than some real security because the streets done taught me different. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, people just like people there for the presence, but that's not me.
Right.
No doubt. I'm a lone wolf myself, bro. I'm a lone wolf. You already know.
Yeah. But I'm only lonely because my people are gone. Like the story of the streets is for real. Like, I'm only lonely because they was the streets. So they said you either die or go to jail or some make it. You get me? My people that made it, they made it with a scar on them. Whether it's depression, you get me? Whether it's fear, PTSD. You get what I'm saying? No, or just, you know, in prison in life.
That's the curse of the game, bro. Like, it's...
No one to tell you that. No one to tell you that. Everybody's going to act like it's... You know what I mean?
You got to come out like it's something. Fun. Yeah. You're going to come out... You're not going to come out the game, you know, with nothing. With scar, without a scar. Whether it's mentally, physically, something, you're not coming out unscathed. That's just so
like,
what it
is. Like me, I look at the game, the streets like this in the game. I'm like A Boogie looking at dude and I'm at the end of the movie, pop bottles and pop champagne. I'm looking at them like that. Because I know, you know what I'm saying? What I'm seeing ain't real. It's not possible.
So, the biggest misconception about the streets is, you know, we don't own the motherfuckers. You feel me? So just look at all the things that we put in place that the system that took advantage of. You know, some of us lived in projects. You know, condominiums is nothing but projects that you own. We taught them how to live in there together, people, you know, the system. The drug trade, you know, just because some of us are envious of what the next man got, or he hustle a little harder or a little better, you kidnapping somebody mama, you kicking in somebody dough, you shooting at somebody on a block that don't nobody own, and these dudes, well, the system, even if you got a gang of brothers, y'all get an LLC and y'all got the money to get a dispensary, the system ain't not gonna let you get that dispensary. You understand what I'm saying? There's always a way to try to blackball us out. So what I'm trying to say is, now they done legalized drugs, they promoting the drugs, and they making money hand over fist, and nobody had to go to jail. Nobody, mama doe got kicked in. Nobody killed their best friend. Nobody didn't tie nobody up and hold them down on the couch or none of that shit. You understand what I'm saying? And all the time that they taken away from street people, black, white, brown, whatever. It ain't got no color. It's just that, you know, why was these people criminals, right? Because they was victims of their circumstance. And now they don't want nobody to get a dispensary. And if you try to battle weed stock, why is it low and the profits say otherwise? I don't understand.
To me, like, remember what happened to Black Wall Street?
Hey, Black Wall Street, Georgia, Central
but
Park.
Like as you
we
see,
could go on and on.
Black Wall Street had some shit going on, but they had a little bit of control in it. You get me? So as you look at the streets, just imagine. It's project builders that was making millions of dollars. It's people that had whole neighborhoods that's to themselves, whole peoples of tribes. You get me? So when they get infiltrated, like we say, they only get infiltrated by the people who want what they learned how to do. So everything
that's
that
my whole point.
Yeah. That's why you gotta love us. That's why you gotta love us. We so brilliant. You get what I'm saying? But the whole thing is that when you throw Uncle Tom in the streets, it's like the person.
Whoa. Uncle Tom was cool. Sambo was the snitch. Uncle Tom was cool. Yeah. Sambo was the snitch.
But really, to me, Uncle Tom was the dude who watched everybody.
That's Sambo.
Was never really a figure. So that's now, Sambo. as the shorties growing up, they are being taught by a person that doesn't even know the feeling, that doesn't even know what they're really teaching. You get me? So it's like we running blind by a blind nigga leading.
So here's the thing. At the end of the day, nobody own nothing.
That's no, I ain't saying we own nothing. I'm not saying we own nothing. That's not what I'm saying. Just like hip hop, we always talk about the culture, but we don't own the culture. You get me? See, like I said, like you take, for instance, a Bad Boy. You take, for instance, a Rockefeller. You take, for instance, a No Limit. And you put that type of money together and you create Interscopes. You create Columbias.
So
you create the type of music, the type of...
Let me tell you, LaFace was one of the biggest labels in the 90s. They had all the dope singers, all the dope male artists. They had all the hip-hop artists kicking knowledge and all of that. They sold out for $145 million to get away with all of the
pop. Why would you, why do you think they sold?
Because,
see, this is the black man's curse. We suck you dry, and then we give it to them. We never want to own nothing. We never believe we can own nothing. We believe we can make a couple of dollars off of it, sell it, and then we good. It's never about wealth. It's never about giving No Limit to my son, him building it up to his son, just like the dude at Interscope. He teach him the rules, and they keep rising. We look how long Interscope been around. You get me?
Right. But don't nobody got a sign if they don't want to. I've been independent forever and I love it.
See, like you know yourself. You know what you came in this for, you know what you want to do, and you know what you was gonna deal with. Now to little shorty who in this world don't know self-knowledge and wanna be accepted, and he ain't got a mind because he ain't got no identity, they're gonna kick him out of identity. And he's gonna take that. He has no other choice. He doing something that he loved to do. Is at first, everyone, when we do this, we do it because we love it. You get what I'm saying? Then, right. after we fuck up and then we fall down, it's just like the drug game. You start selling the drugs because you want to look like the dude you seen on the corner. Then after a while, you start wondering, man, I really got to make money off this. This bill's got to be paid.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So right. It's no longer now. But
my thing was always, is this shit worth the risk? Is this shit worth the stretch? No.
But that's only to you to answer.
Right. I'm just saying. I'm speaking from my lens, you know?
Yeah. Like, if I was to talk to a shorty, how can I tell him what he's doing ain't worth the risk because I survived to tell him what happened when he don't make it off the risk? But that's remember, I took the risk.
Right. Then
I took the risk. Now, whatever I'm looking like from the risk or whatever stories I got from the risk, I'm really actually telling you that's what the road you're walking down. So that's you if you want to take the chance.
Right. Like, comes with it. That's what I would tell. I tell any youngin' who out here bad, understand what comes with this.
Consequences and repercussions.
It's some hard one. Just if that's what you choose, stand on it. But just be aware, it's some things that come along with that. If a person, you know, can deal with that, okay, do your thing. You know what I mean? But stand, if that's what you're gonna do, you better stand on it, because yeah. You know it's gonna be some ugly things that come.
It's a dirty game.
Yeah, if you ain't built for it, stay the fuck out of it.
And sometimes you don't know you ain't built for it until you bump your head.
You know what? Tell them about that story you told me, like with the you know, with Shorty, right? He was going.
Like, for instance, like in these streets, we got stuff that happens like this. It could be a dude.
Chicago streets.
Yeah, like it could be a dude who grew up nice neighborhood, good parents, but he liked drill music. You get me? Then it's another nigga that's in the streets doing drill music. And by social media being together, you get what I'm saying? Now, both of them boys is headed to a journey. Now, what we don't know is which journey they is, but check how the scenario is. The one boy that's with the good family, he likes watching the gangster music. He go to the school where he at, acting like a gangster, acting like that. Then you got this one dude who really is the streets and who do all of that. So they actually bump heads over social media. So now they get to live in that life. He get to go on to where Shorty at, but he got the gangster material. He like, man, Joe, I could take something over here, Shorty. We could do this. So he driving this in the Shorty, but Shorty is really not like this. You get me? But this dude, he like this, but he really don't want to be like this. Shorty wanna be like this, but he don't have to be like this. So basically what I'm saying is that when he get involved with him, you get what I'm saying? That dude mess around and get in trouble with him, then that dude put the street nigga in a position now where he doing life. He get popped off of the case. The other dude told on him, but the other dude from that experience, he going down the wrong road now. He hanging with the nigga that he put in jail friends because they accepted him. You get what I'm saying? So he get in trouble. He kill one of the friends. Go to jail. You get me? The other one sitting in jail already all that time. You get me? But he had a good conscience and the dope. He just wanted to get out his environment, doing whatever the streets was. So for some reason, this little nigga started thinking different doing his bit. Probably like after 7-8 years in a bit, he started reading the Bible and shit. His big homie started putting him on some game. While the other shorty, he out there robbing niggas, still doing what he doing and everything. Now, in his 10-year bit, he hear about Shorty killing one of his homies. He go to jail. Now, Shorty got them to get a visit from his mama telling him, like, man, Joe, you got to change your life and all that woo-woo. Now, he ain't really hearing his mama, but he get back. For some reason, he changed his life. He get to reading the Bible, get to going to youth studies and all that shit. You get what I'm saying? Mama come out of nowhere. His appeal come through. He go back home. But when he go back home, he ain't nothing like the nigga either. You don't even recognize him in the streets because he ain't nothing like that. But this dude, he get motherfucker popped off. He go to jail. In his third year bit, he commits suicide. You see what I'm saying? Like it's so crazy that nowadays we got people rather think they should take the streets than think a football scholarship. They'd rather be old dog than to be Ricky.
because we got all these outside entities that bring people closer together, like the internet, and all this shit should be checked at home. You know, look at how early people giving their babies and shit phones, shit like that. They not thinking about, okay, when these kids come home and they get out of school, I'm gonna take the power cord to their shit and cut it off. All week, you know, like when we was younger and got on punishment, we had to deal with it and take it. These shorties, you get them a phone, they could be anywhere in the fucking world. I'm in my room, but I could go anywhere.
Yeah, you gotta play right there.
Here's the window to the world. You know, that's why they shorty so advanced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is the window to the world, you know.
But see, nobody not looking at the problem right in front of us. Just like I posted up a math problem the other day, and everybody picked the wrong answer to that motherfucker because they Googled the answer.
Exactly.
4 quarters is 4 quarters. 100 pennies is 100 pennies.
Exactly.
10 dimes is 10 dimes. 20 nickels is 20 nickels. Period.
That's crazy.
It's all a dollar.
I hear you.
Hey, but see, the war we losing is called acceptance. When I say that, I could train my shorty to be any way he want to be. I can read him, tuck him in the crib, take his phone off the charger, don't let him listen to it. But mathematics has shown that when he go to school, is he really strong enough to not be accepted by 50 people and he's walking down? These have been all the motherfucking movies before, the popular and the unpopular. You get me?
So look, here's the thing. We got to, as parents, I don't know if y'all got kids, but as parents, we got to instill those values in our children. Like me, my mom and my dad, they separated when I was like 13, but shit, you know, I had everything that I needed before they broke up. And, you know, no disrespect to my mom, I love my mom, but God damn it, we living in Englewood, we living in Tarrytown, we living in Mayberry, fucking, I'm like, what are you doing?
He did the best he could. There was a lot of people's circumstances at that time.
So I'm saying, I'm not gonna be no false flagger. You don't want me in a gang, but I have to choose a side. I have to choose a side, and I have to carry this. I have to carry this thing on my side. You ain't gonna know about it. I ain't bringing it in the house. But you are forcing me to make decisions where my self-preservation is more important than you looking out for me because you are not a man. You don't understand what I have to go through every day.
We from Chicago. You know Dwayne Wade, right?
Yeah, I do.
All the street niggas from Robbins, his cousins is akin to. So he never had to go to the streets to see the street niggas. You get me? Okay. And I did this research. Now, by you not having to go to the streets to see these street niggas, you're not in search of a big home. You're not in search of looking for what you're seeing on TV and shit. You get me? Now, you right. Might go hoop. You might go motherfucker play football. Anything that you do. It's so real that by being in the crib, you ain't really curious of it because it's in the crib like normal. So whatever sport you're doing, whatever's normal to you to do, you continue to do it. But my other research shows that the kid that come from a crib, that mama good, dad working, when he go to school and when he be around the people, he's the one that kind of surfaces to trying to look for a big homie to trying to, it's like a mannequin. When you go in the store, some people with no identity, they go in the store and they buy what's on a mannequin, trying to look like everybody else. You get me? But what's crazy, like I said, and this is a proven fact, like you grew up, look the type of person you is, bro, and you came from Englewood.
I'm from the hundreds, but like, I had to live.
I'm saying you from the hundred, but what I'm saying is, look how many real niggas you know,
right?
Without searching.
Right.
compared to niggas you know. That ain't nothing like what they portraying to be. But damn, bro, why you trying to be that?
So look, just to address your point, like a lot of people don't understand when you go to these other states to do shows and shit, it's street niggas in fucking OKC, it's street niggas in Iowa, it's street niggas in South Carolina, it's street niggas everywhere. You know, so whatever you rapping about in your music, that's what's gonna be in the motherfucking lobby waiting on your ass.
Okay, I'm in Texas. You hear me? Every time I walk in a store, somebody speaks to me that's black and got his gun on. Every time I go to a show out here, it's all family orientated and it's cool. You get what I'm saying? Like, but it's like it went from Blackstones and GDs to John and Sam. That's what I'm saying.
What part of Texas are you in?
This is what we living in, bro. And I wish people understand this, bro. The people who are raising our children, there's two people raising our children right now, bro. Bishop and Old Dog. Those are the two big homies in the streets raising your children who hit the street. It's going to be a streets no matter what. You get me? So by me saying that I'm from the streets, I understand that somehow, bro, we have to clean them back up because it's innocent kids.
They don't want them clean.
What I'm saying is, when I say clean them back up, we gotta reconnect somehow, bro.
Right. So look,
one each one teach one. You know,
right?
Just you know, tell the truth. That's all.
That's it. And whatever you could do when somebody in your chair, whenever you make a song, you gotta try to convey the message to them because you know some people they don't get it. Other people, they not. All you can do is do your best. Huh?
That's it. If you reach one, you won, bro. If you reach one, you're not going to reach that's everybody, it. But if you reach one, even then that one going to influence somebody else. You know?
Well, I make excuses. Then I said this. When they said, man, Joe, my mom pop pills, she be partying and shit and woo-woo when I was growing up. I said, man, my man was serving my auntie and she was renting this car out to him. I had to deal with that. I was serving my man daddy. He had to deal with that. I was serving my, you get what I'm saying? What all this sugarcoating we doing for people, PTSD, what happened to them ones that grew up like J-Rock? Shorties ain't growing up like that. We are in a time right now where girls is partying. Mama's got money. They buying Jordans. They buying that thing.
All this shit is an illusion. I wish I could fucking go to some when I was in grammar school and see naked bitches all day. All I do is be on Instagram looking at naked bitches. That's it. Every girl in my fucking class, I'll be in their fucking DM. They'll be walking me up out of the fucking school or some shit.
Remember when we used to say, remember when you was the one that was funny that was paying for girls?
I never pay for girls.
Exactly. You come from my era. You come from my era. I just said it. What you saying now, the mathematics of it is you a lame.
Shit.
But you see the flip. That, you get what I'm saying, G? That's why I say, G, we lost connection because the truth ain't exposed. See, when you understand, bro, that principals are not in the game no more with a kid, it's so fucked up that it don't take the white people. We doing it to ourselves.
It all start at home. It don't got nothing to do with color because every ethnicity got their fuck ups. Every ethnicity. You know, so I ain't going to make it a race thing.
I ain't trying to go hard on you like this, but this is the last thing I'm going to say. And I hear you say it ain't about color, right?
It's not.
You ever seen Higher Learning, right?
Yeah, I've seen Higher Learning.
I watched the two white dudes arguing with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one white dude tried to say something slick, and the leader said, man, how you gonna talk? You don't even have a high school diploma. Did you hear that? Now, in the black conversation, this is what you're gonna hear. Man, you ain't even got no Benz, nigga. Them ain't Gucci's. Them ain't nothing. Do you need the leadership of control? You hear me?
So, get your high school diploma. So
get your degree.
Right, I understand that, but you can't measure wealth by material things. at all.
It's not material, bro. The black people do that. This is what you're not hearing in my message.
This is why I'm trying to say that it's not a race thing. I have lived with like maybe 15 white dudes, 7 Mexicans, and three blacks out of 2,500 people. Everybody else white. And it don't have nothing to do with color. Was it racism? Yes. But at the end of the day, when it all boiled down, it's about being a man. It's about whatever you grew up knowing, your lessons, all that shit. That's when it separates the men and the boys. Like, shout out to my homie Uncle Dolomite. When I was in the Marines, I was in San Diego. I got on the Bulls jersey, the Bulls shorts. They just won. Red like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Crips roll up on my ass like, woo! Man, you wet than a motherfucker with that shit on, homie. I said, look, hey, I understand the rules of the street. I'm from Chicago. I'm a traveling vice lord. I don't know nothing about this shit. I understand, you know, the rules and everything. I'm finna get on this bus. So they, you finna get on the bus? I'm like, yeah, I'm finna get on the bus. He was like, all right, hey, that's cool. That's what's up. But next time, just wear the black. All black. You could wear black, motherfucker, and you could wear white. That's
hey, it. Hey, where you from is where you at, broski.
Who the KKK ops?
Kings killing kings. We our own ops.
Now, I'm asking you a question. You just said it's something us. About how the, you us. Just said something about how
it's
great
us. Kings killing kings. It's
man,
us.
Do you know how powerful it is for a man to accept you just because of your skin color? Not because of that flag, nigga. Not because of that. Do you know how powerful that is when you say black power, bro? When you can actually look at a nigga and wrath, hey, look, bro.
It's still division. Man, bro, y'all it's still division. It's still division. You got to live in a world with everybody else. We only make up 13% of the population.
I want my people to know, until there ain't no division in our shit, then we cannot win.
The thing is not winning. The thing is coexisting with respect and dignity. You understand what I'm saying? We the number one consumers of everything. We don't own nothing.
You saying what I'm saying?
Right. I'm not arguing with you. I just want to make sure that the listeners know. That's all. We're having a discussion like men amongst men.
Yeah, I understand. Good. I just get so frustrated, bro, because of the simple fact that when you mad at another man because he got a flag on that's a different color, you get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He talk like you, he talk like you, he act like you. But the crazy thing is that I keep seeing this other race that no matter what, they know in order to do what they do, one of their sons have to be a judge. One of their sons have to be a governor. One of their positions of power. When I say power, which is controlment. You get me? I wish we would teach our kids that it's more about you getting the tools you need to control something than more renting.
So the thing is, we got to stop kicking our kids out of the crib when they get 18. Look, you go to college after you get out of college. I'm going to let you stay at the crib so you can stack your bread and get on your feet. And then and when you're like 26, you can go ahead and get out in the world.
I teach them financial literacy. So when they do get the bread, they know what to do with it. Get an LLC, you know, get it. When you get that trade, stack it, you know, treat yourself, be realistic with them. But you got to, you know, educate them so they know what to do with the bread. And, you know.
Facts. Like one Friday all day, I was just running spade games in my fucking class. We was playing spades for 7 periods. So they asked me like, were you playing spades in the class for 7 periods? Hell yeah. I'm teaching these kids that you can't count cuts. That's money that you don't fucking have. Mm-hmm. You can only spend what you have. You know? So that's the lesson of the class.
That's a lesson. That's a lesson in itself.
Hey, Kings, I'm going to have to cut it short, though, bro.
So we're about to wrap it up anyway. So if you could leave, if you could do one thing to make the world better, what would it be? Pave G.
If I can make the world, do one thing to make the world better.
Add, take away, anything that you could do to make the world a better place. One thing that you could do. If you could get rid of something, you could add something, take away.
I would personally say, you know, as a whole, you know, when I see, no matter where you're from, you know, Hunnids, Westside, Harvey, you know, whatever you represent, see your brother as your brother. Put more love, you know, like see, you know, bring more love amongst each other, you know, and less division. And I think, you know, if I was able to do that, if the world would be a better place.
What about you, Scott?
I would like an extra period in the class to teach self.
Okay.
Well, I believe I can't help nobody if he don't know himself.
Right. If I could do one thing to make the world a better place, I'll make the Lloyds of London pay us that 1% that they owe us. And every Black person or anybody of African American descent will get that $1 million. We wouldn't have to pay no taxes, no more. And we wouldn't have to pay for anything that involved cotton.
Ooh, that's a nice one right there.
I hear you, right?
That's so, a nice one right there.
Rodas for president. So plug your social media and where people could reach you.
I'm at Skoda Hustler, SCODAHUSTLDA, Skoda Hustler.
What platform?
I'm on YouTube right now. Check me out. It's spelled the same way. Got a couple of videos right out. I'm dropping a mixtape July 9th on my birthday. Come check in with me. I'm going to be posting it on all platforms. And I'm going to be, you know, sending messages and little music skits through Instagram. Check me out.
Okay. Yes, what about you, Pave G?
You can check me out on Facebook, you know, George Pay Brown. And I got another entertainment page on Facebook, George Brown III. Also on YouTube, Pave G. You can see a lot of my work on there. And Instagram, George Brown III. Got some things coming up, working on some projects and film. I can't speak too much on it, but you know, okay. I'm dabbling. Okay. I'm doing what I do.
That's what's up. This has been another episode of Rodas Live. We out.
Yeah. Yes, sir.